Okay, so Thomas, would you like me to give you 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 14 minutes?
So is it 15 minutes altogether?
Yeah, something like that.
If you let me know when there's 5 minutes left and then
Okay.
1 minute left, I guess.
Okay, I'll do that. All right.
So, hi, I'm Thomas. I'm a recovered alcoholic, Al-Anon, codependent, last addict. Gratefully on this path with you, following the steps, Big Book Awakening. It's really great to be here and see you all. I haven't been able to get to this meeting for a while. So I really mean that. It's really wonderful to see you all. If you've been through the steps up to this point, the BBA way, then you've probably listened to Dan Sherman's talk on step 6 and 7, which is up on the BBA Works, the step tools on the bbaworks.com. There's a transcript as well. So that's fantastic and really, really helped me. And I think gives a great way of understanding what these steps are about and how where they're taking us. And also what helped me from the BBA perspective was listening to Tyler talk about 6 and 7, how she does it in the workshop audios. You'll be able to find that. She's been doing a workshop kind of every year now, the last few years with Josie, I think. And there's also like this there's downloadable in that step tools area. There's like a sheet with Tyler's walkthrough of 6 and 7, how she does it. So I followed that when I did the steps the BBA way. It was also suggested to me by my fifth step partner. There's some questions. And yeah, I'll come back to that. Those were the res BBA resources that really helped me. If we go back to the big book, there's one paragraph with instructions for step 7, and it's almost all a prayer. So the instructions are on 76. It says, when ready, we say something like this. So again, the wording of the prayer is optional. We say something like this. My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. I've always found it really interesting what's emphasized in that prayer. We're asking to have the defects of character removed that stand in the way of my usefulness. That's the criteria. And it really crystallizes how we're being fitted through the steps to be of maximum use to God and our fellows. That's our ultimate goal. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing the steps, to be fitted to be of maximum use. And yeah, I've come to understand my sobriety depends upon that. So it says when ready. What does that mean? When am I ready? Well, I think that the suggestions that I've mentioned are really helpful. I mean, my fifth step partner encouraged me to who was Jeff, I don't need to speak in code, who encouraged me to, you know, mark down, to note in my resentment inventory, for example, what I found objectionable. And I used like a different color pen on my resentment sheets to write OBJ, that's objectionable. And usually it was almost everything, right? In the third column and in the fourth, and sometimes in the realization, there were things as well. So this is what I'm taking into my seventh step, is this inventory that I've done and I've shared with someone. Step six gives us a chance to reflect on if the work we've done so far is solid. One important thing in there for me is there anything I haven't told my fifth step partner? You know, is there anything that would still be worthwhile, you know, that I haven't told, that I still want to keep to myself, not really willing to tell yet? Do I need to pray about that? And then, of course, I'm considering whether these things I've marked objectionable, am I willing to let them go? I wanted to give you some examples, though. This was a resentment inventory sheet I did on a really old sponsee of mine. So, for example, self-esteem, I've written here. I'm the best sponsor in Al-Anon. Fear of being unrecovered, a bad sponsor, useless. So that statement I found objectionable, this need to be the best sponsor in Al-Anon, that was obviously hampering me. Those fears as well, fear of being unrecovered, fear of being a bad sponsor, fear of being useless, they were all objectionable to me. These are the things that are getting in the way, like I said in step four, they're getting in the way of me having a relationship with my creator. Security, that's often where some really objectionable things come up. I need him to follow my suggestions and remember what I've told him to be okay. So in order for me to be okay, I'm saying this person who's just a beginner in Al-Anon has to follow my suggestions and remember everything I've ever said, not keep asking me questions, in order for me to feel okay. Because, of course, if he doesn't, that might mean I'm not a good sponsor. And then I need him to do it my way to be okay. That's also obviously objectionable. I'd forgotten this. In the sex relations, a real man keeps his sponsee disciplined. You know, I was just too soft. I was just too soft. So this principle was really objectionable. I mean, it's not something I could ever do, let alone would actually really want to do. And there's another good one here I noticed under dishonest in the fourth column. So usually, obviously, in the fourth column, probably everything is going to be objectionable. Not always, but usually. So the self-seeking part, my selfish actions, usually those actions that are really, that I've seen are wrong, or I don't want to do. So they're going to be objectionable. Obviously, the selfish attitudes behind them, the manifestations of selfishness, they're going to be objectionable. And the delusions, so there was a really good one came up here. I was in the delusion that if I sacrifice myself, I will be loved and respected. And that for me is a good example of a delusion, because it was really something where I wasn't aware I was in it. You know, it was just something I was operating under. So I definitely don't want to have that belief in me, that false belief. I want it removed. And that's what this powerful step seven is about. So what was suggested and what to me and what Tyler suggests in detail is you take your inventory. So you take your, this is what I did. I did it here in the room I'm in right now. I've got my stack of resentment inventories. I've shared everything already with my fifth step partner, and that means I've shared it with God too. I've maybe gone back and made a couple of calls to my fifth step partner. There's this thing I did in school when I was eight, and I said nasty things to this kid. I didn't tell you that. So, or whatever it is, you know. Now I'm ready. I'm ready at least to complete step six and take step seven, which is, you know, the suggestion that I stick with this stack of resentment inventories and my fear inventory and my sex inventories and my sex ideal in front of me. And I just look at them back to front. Now, this is why, you know, I don't read them all through in detail, but I look and I just remind myself, I've got all these fears, they're rejectable. And I look and what sticks out to me? I just look at it back in front. And do I want to just check? Do I want to have all these? Is there anything I'm clinging to here? No, God can take all of that. Once I've gone through all of it, and I'm going to read my sex ideal to God again as well. If there's nothing more I'm clinging to that I, you know, then I'm ready. And then I say the prayer. And, in the original manuscript of the big book, the step seven was humbly on our knees, ask him to remove our defects. So these defects of character. And, you know, I find this elusive concept, humility, that we get to know. It's a wonderful discovery in recovery. And kneeling does help me to be in that space. And then, you know, in the step six text, it says something really helpful. It says, we're building an arch through which we shall walk a free person at last. Is our work solid so far? Are the stones properly in place? Have we skimped on the cement put into the foundation? Have we tried to make mortar without sand? So, you know, earlier in the steps, we'll look at, you know, the different parts of the arch. They're pointed out in the BBA work. The third step is the keystone of the arch, holds the whole thing together at the top. So what I did was to, you know, actually have a doorway I'm going to walk through. So I'm going to say my prayer, and then I'm going to walk through that arch to freedom. I've built that archway, and symbolically I can walk through. After I've said this prayer, I can walk through into freedom to take the rest of the steps. And what I want to say, you know, the first time I took step seven was in another very way powerful, big book-based way of taking the steps. And it was very powerful. And it's the same, you know, it's the same step. And afterwards, I went home and I had this funny feeling of emptiness, which actually makes a lot of sense. You know, all this stuff had been removed. So I think it's normal for things to feel a bit unfamiliar. What my sponsor at the time would say to me, what we're doing is, or what God's doing, removing all that crap that's not really you, so that we can find out who you really are underneath, so that you can finally get to find out who you really are. All that stuff that was objectionable, that was in the way, that we got mixed up in our heads, thinking was important or whatever it was, you know, the fear, which is one of our biggest defects, resentment and all those things that we found objectionable. We ask God humbly here to do something in faith. And to me, that means there's no question that he does it. If you ask, you're going to receive. So I really believe that once you say that prayer, those defects, all those objectionable things, they are removed, which means put aside, right? And thanks. I think Dan in his talk emphasizes you can't work on defects of character. If I could work on them, I wouldn't need God. So this is about our higher power removing them. And they are gone. They are gone. Clarence Schneider, who was an early AA sponsee of Dr. Bob, used to say, after you take this step, you're clean as a hound's tooth. That was the phrase he used. You know, pure as the driven snow might be another one, you know. And that's why we then, you know, we're ready to go ahead and find out who we really are in step 8, step 9, the courage we actually have. And in step 10, we get these tools then to keep these defects out. They come knocking. See, to me, it's not that God removes the defects in his own time. He does it when we ask, but they come knocking. And it's up to us to use step 10 and then step 11 and 12 to grow, to keep them out, because they don't have any business here anymore. Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you for that ride through step 7. Okay, we'll now open the meeting for sharing and for questions to anyone from anyone. Please limit your share to under 4 minutes. I will be timing and will give you a heads up with a little sonic signal. So the topic for tonight's meeting is step 7, and Thomas, can you, in 2 words, sum that up to get our sharing imagination streamlined?
Having our defects of character removed.
Okay, great. Who'd like to start off?
Morning, everybody. Oh, wait. Good evening, everybody.
Hello, Tom.
I'm an Al-Anonic. Thomas, you are so real. It's really great to hear you. It really is. You reminded me of my first fourth step in another program. And we went through the fourth step. It took a year. But that sounds like more than it was, because we only met